Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Have you ever heard of blaming the victim? It's really a fallacy, and sadly, in psychology, victim blaming or the abuser blaming the abused is really a type of mental manipulation. Hi, Alex McFarland here, very honored to be sitting in tonight for Abe Hamilton, attorney, pastor, broadcaster. Abe Hamilton is out tonight, and I'm sitting in for him, and we have a great show. Later on in the show, we'll talk to a longtime friend and colleague, Lucas Miles. He is head of TPUSA Faith, and he's an author and a Christian leader, and very much involved with Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA, and we'll get some insights from Lucas Miles later on in the show. Also in the show, in just a little while, we'll have a word from economist Christian Briggs. But I want to talk a little bit, and obviously everyone knows, I mean, global headlines have been consumed now for 1 week with news of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I knew Charlie. Over the last 4 or 5 years, we had shared the stage on several occasions, and it was my great, great privilege to get to know him as a friend and a colleague, and we had a conference in South Carolina, August 21. It would be one of the last non-TPUSA or White House-related events that he would do. He was always doing media and radio and TV interviews, but our event, Conversations That Matter, a biblical worldview series. It was one of the last non-TPUSA events that Charlie Kirk would ever do. And of course, 1 week ago today, was tragically assassinated, brutally, viciously, wickedly. I mean, just as Truman Capote would write, in cold blood. Very sad, very sad. But one of the things, sadly, the left has been many have celebrated his death and said that he was a fascist. I mean, all sorts of epithets and words. But here's the thing, in terms of victim blaming, isn't it funny that in merely talking about the U.S. Constitution and our moral foundation, and that our Constitution was framed on the Judeo-Christian moral foundation. And as great leaders like John Adams said, John Adams, our second president, said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. And they said, oh, you know, Nazi, fascist, when in reality, it's the Marxist left that are authoritarianism and dictatorship and viewpoint suppression and really controlling the narrative and forbidding honest, open debate. That's not what Christians and conservatives do. That's what they were doing. I thought it was interesting also that in the aftermath of the death of Charlie Kirk, there weren't windows being smashed, cars being burned, riots in the streets. But there were prayer groups. So it's not the Christians and or conservatives that really are threatening the stability and the civility of our country. It's those on the left that don't acknowledge God nor moral boundaries. But right now we're going to have a conversation with someone that I've just been very impressed with. We've had a couple of on-air conversations. Christian Briggs. He is a political analyst, a commentator, an economist, and an expert in macro and microeconomics. He's the CEO of Hard Asset Management, Inc., and he's got a program, the Hard Asset Money Show. Every conversation, I've found him to be most impressive and most insightful. He's with us now. Christian, welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this. I was so honored to be on your show again.
Well, thanks very much. You know, it was back in the, I don't know, I guess early to midsummer that we talked. We were talking about the economy and the stock market and such. But right now, well, before we go too far, and I've got a number of things I want to ask you, but just give a little of your bio and what you're doing these days with the Hard Asset Management Group.
Well, we're basically a wholesaler and retailer in the precious metals industry, gold, silver, and platinum. And we also use the economics that we put together about a framework of mathematics to put together some kind of a scenario of what's going to happen in the economy with interest rates, with labor. You know, obviously, the jobs numbers have been quite bad here lately. So we try to take everything from the macroeconomics, which is the government end of the economy, down to the micro, which is really the privatization of all of the companies, whether it's a large scale, mid, or small scale. We put all that together and we try to formulate something that gives an outcome on the movement of metals. And that's why we made a huge call, you know, about 5 years ago now. It's actually been about 5 years this fall. Well, we thought that the numbers of which the COVID was suppressing or hurting the economy was something we should look at for precious metals. So that's what we do, is we look at two things. We look at the economics that are viable at the time, and then we try to put together about a 3 to 5 year financial outlook. We advise members of Congress on various policies, and we're advising some things now in October that we're going to be submitting to the White House on some stuff. So that's what we do. We do sell the metals themselves, but we try to make sure that the information behind the reasoning is conclusive and not just theoretical.
You know, there are some economic and political questions that I want to get into, but, you know, since this has been such just a blow to all people, the death of Charlie Kirk, I want to get your thoughts on that. I mean, even Bill Maher, the atheist liberal Bill Maher, I watched him over the weekend with Ben Shapiro, and even Bill Maher was saying this was, he said, probably the nicest person that I ever had as a guest on my show. And I mean, he was really fighting back emotion. And Bill Maher, and I'm not saying this out of any love necessarily ideologically for Bill Maher, because politically and spiritually we're absolute opposites. But as a human being, I mean, he was fighting back emotion. He said, I just can't get past this. So this has touched everybody. What are your thoughts, if you would, from last Wednesday when the news broke to even right now, having had a week to sort of reflect on this, as we all have? Christian, your analysis of what happened last week at the college in Utah.
Well, first, it goes beyond the words of tragedy. I don't think there'll ever be a word that will express my deepest hurt. I mean, I knew Charlie. I had spent a week with him, not on and off, or on and off, but not every minute, at the Republican convention last year. I was there for about a week, and I had run into him a number of times. We had some great conversations. I kept in touch with some of his people because they had asked me if I wanted to speak at various conferences, and the timing and the schedule never really worked out. I was really disappointed even before the accident. And so I look at it from this standpoint. I think what you have is you have homegrown ideology that all started with Obama. I mean, if we really want to get into the depths of what's going on here, this transgender movement, whether we want to pick it apart or we want to push it up to the side, it needs to be addressed at some point, okay? Because this is starting to become too much. And at the same time, when you look at the transform of what Charlie was trying to do, especially at the college level, at the young kids level, to try to transform them from anything that would steer them in the wrong direction to give them the great advice to maybe look this direction. If you're hurting, or if you're looking for something, if there's a void in your life, come this way. I think there's a better answer than constantly trying to run in circles and maybe look to things that aren't going to satisfy the soul. And now you have such a great person. And I would agree with that he's probably the nicest person I've ever met. I mean, he was always gracious. And if you wanted to talk to him, he made time for you. So now fast forward to today, we've got a number of people that have kind of taken the reins and the seats, if you will, for the show. Now, my question is this, and I've asked this before, especially on this topic, is Charlie's legacy with Turning Point to continue the young campus, the young people's campus crusade for Christ, will it still be as effective with some of the new people that have been appointed to take a lot of the position or the over the show, like Ben Shapiro and others of the Jewish community. And I asked the point. I've asked the question with people in the last few days, as because is it a rabbi that's trying to help or to preach to the Baptist church or to the Christian community? Because I know Ben Shapiro is on the record saying, you know, I'm a Jewish by faith, and the Christianity is something that's nice, but I don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So I beg the question, and again, this is just an open forum for conversation. Are the people that are being put into the position to lead from an ideology, theoretical standpoint, the right people that can convey the message with a heartfelt passion? Because it's hard to say that, hey, look, I love this deal, I love this, or love that, when you're not truly in love, like with the Holy Spirit, right? Right? We love Jesus. So you're led by the Spirit because that's out of love. So I beg the question, and maybe these people can continue the legacy and the momentum of what it stood for, the turning point. But I would think that a more warranted person would be somebody from the Christian community that would be more of the leadership of that messaging, right? Especially when you want to go to these campuses. If I was there and Ben Shapiro was talking, and I'll ask the question, Ben, when can you give us your testimony? Can you let us know when Christ filled your heart with the Holy Spirit? And how does one answer that who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, mm-hmm. the Son of God?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting topic. I mentioned this to a few people because people have called me and said, what's your thoughts on Ben Shapiro and these other people that are all from the Jewish community running Turning Point? And I said, well, I'm glad you asked, because it is something that I would have to tell you, I would be a little hesitant to say that that's going to be the best place, position, or persons in that continuation of the messaging, because how is it that somebody can race a car that's never even been in a car before?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's one of the things that was so great about Charlie Kirk, was that he was equally gifted in explaining political issues, moral issues, but then he could segue to the gospel. In fact, August 21, when we had him in our speaker series, you know, he said, and I'm quoting, he said, politics is boring. I speak about politics because I have to. The most exciting topic is new life in Jesus. And he told an audience, people from 17 states came, and he said, look, if you've never given your life to Christ, that's the message. He said, I'll tell you how to be saved. Alex can tell you, but don't leave here without a personal relationship to Jesus if you haven't made that commitment already. But yeah, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we love Ben Shapiro. I've interviewed Ben Shapiro when I worked for James Dobbs and Focus on the Family. We had Ben Shapiro on the radio. And I want to be clear, kind of harkens back. I'm old enough to remember Jerry Falwell's Moral Majority. And people faulted Jerry Falwell about linking arms with, you know, Jews, non-Christians, but people who believed in objective morality and the U.S. Constitution. And Falwell would always say, well, the Moral Majority is not a gospel evangelistic initiative. It's an initiative to try to preserve morals, which is the foundation of the U.S. Constitution. So, Turning Point, I'm with you. We need to pray that that organization will stay on point with not just conservative constitutionalism, but the gospel itself. We got to take a brief break. Can you hang on just a few more minutes into the next segment, Christian?
Yeah, I'm here, sure. As long as you need me.
All right. Hey, as we segue into this break, give your website, if you would, please. Christian.
Oh, yeah, as far as the economy? Yeah, as far as like what's going on with the interest rates?
Your website.
Oh, my website? Yeah, bmcham.com. bmcham.com.
Okay, yeah. bmcham.com.
And if you want to follow me on X, it's bmc_ham, bmc_ham. Mm-hmm.
On X, a.k.a. Twitter. Stay tuned. Alex McFarland here. More on this edition of the Hamilton Corner after this brief break. Don't go away.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The Lord Jesus, He's a providing shepherd. He's a guiding shepherd. He's a restoring shepherd. He's a present shepherd. He's an almighty shepherd, a comforting shepherd, a protecting shepherd, an anointing shepherd, a shepherd that can be trusted, and an eternal shepherd as well. Father, thank you for being our good and great shepherd, a shepherd that helps us in every area of our life. Father, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of every listener with a fresh anointing that we would, in a much greater way, know how to take the wonderful and powerful Word of God and use it like the weapon that it is to walk forward in victory every single day. Help us to be wise enough to not only memorize Psalm 23, but to speak it and to stand on it and confess it as the weapon that it is as we speak your Word in all the circumstances of life.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
What if you were forced to live without a Bible? You know, that's the way it is for evangelical Christians all over the world. Only one Christian in 10 has a Bible in many parts of Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. But hear from this pastor as he shares the reaction of a senior saint who finally received her own Bible.
She literally knelt down and cried. At the age of 60, she never had a Bible. It is so much fulfilling just to see people rejoicing when they receive their Bibles.
AFR listeners, with every gift today, you're putting tears of joy on the faces of Bibleist believers all over the world. You know, we want to do that for 4,000 waiting believers that we know by name at Bible League. We are far behind where we need to be. So at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20. Would you pray about it and be involved today, Abraham?
You can give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland, we've got Christian Briggs on the line. And Christian, thanks for making time to be with us. I want to talk about the economy because there's so many things in the news that really kind of seem conflicting. So let's talk about the GDP and the NASDAQ, and I want some of your insights on this.
About the reality of things, not what you think is going to happen with the Federal Reserve cutting the Fed funds rate. See, people don't realize that the Fed funds rate is the rate that banks borrow from the Federal Reserve to be able to take that money, whether it's $1 million or $1 billion, they put that money into the system for lending, okay? So right now you've got Fed funds rate at 3.75 to 4%. So banks will buy the money. Then they put that money on the street at, like, say 8%, 9% for car loans, 7.5% to 7% for mortgages, and so on. See, the problem that you have is, and I'm going to be very analytic because math is the only science that you cannot fudge. People lie, but math does not. So I'm going to be very analytic here. All right. So let's be analytic. I want everyone who's listening to write this down because it's very important. About a week and a half ago, when I was talking to a member of Congress, trying to explain to them that Trump's pressure on the Federal Reserve is not just about interest rates being lower. He wants to dismantle the Federal Reserve. He wants to get rid of it and then make stable coins through the Genius Act and the corporations and banks that have the authorization to issue those the new dollar. Okay, so we're going to be fully digital at some point. Some people think before Trump leaves office, we'll be full digital cashless society. We may be. That's a possibility. But in the near term, when the Federal Reserve was trying to tell Trump that the bond market is the real showing of real rates, bond market, okay? Whether it's the 5-year, the 10, the 20, or the 30, those are the real interest rates that we pay from. Banks set the rates based on what the bonds are doing, and then they try to make as much of the margin they can from the Fed, where they borrow it, to the individual that they sell it to for whatever loan they were trying to do. We made a very clear comment last week where we broadcasted and we told both members in D.C. as well as other economists that we are going to tell you now that if the Federal Reserve lowers rates 25 basis points, it'll actually make both mid and long-term rates go up. People thought I was crazy because they said that there was a slowing economy. I said, I don't doubt the slowing economy from a hiring perspective, but we have a growing economy from a GDP expansion perspective. And they said, how can that be? Because productivity dictates labor. Productivity is the measure of which you either hire or fire or lay off, or you just eliminate the jobs altogether. Jobs that may have been looked at a year ago that you were going to hire for, they're just eliminated. So when you have contraction, you start laying people off and you stop hiring. Look what's happening. But why are the numbers on the GDP and the quarterly growth showing increasing expansion? I'll tell you why. And I'm going on the record here. And I have people push back on this, but now I was right. We are seeing AI replace humans at various positions. So the efficiency of AI is a higher productivity environment so it can maintain the company's efficient growth. Take example, right now, 25% of all the employees at Microsoft will be replaced by AI, whether it's in the coding, whether it's in law, whether it's in accounting, whether it's in marketing, it doesn't matter. And it could be 50% over the next 3 to 5 years. That will not slow down Microsoft's growth. What it'll do is eliminate massive amounts of labor costs. Over the next 12 to 24 months, corporations in America, mostly large scale corporations, are going to save about $960 billion to $1 trillion is our estimates in overhead costs. That's going to continue the growth of the GDP. It's going to continue the growth of the expansion, but it's going to lower tax revenues and it's going to put tens of millions of people out of work. They're automating everything from massage therapists to car washes to lawyers to doctors to accountants. I mean, how many Uber drivers will be left in 5 years? Mm. How many? None. How many will be taxi drivers? None. Autonomous driven cars, ships, planes, trains. So what's happening is when the Fed cut rates, the interest rates went up because we're still going to have an expansion of the economy, which is what? Inflationary. See, people forget that word inflation. They think that's a bad word. Inflation is the measure of the amount of cash that the M2 supply that goes into the marketplace to be able to use in a collective manner, whether it's from lending, buyouts, expansion of a small business to a large scale business. So we're going to continue to have 2, 3, 4% GDP. We're going to have it. Make no mistake about it. Trump's right. Scott Bessent, he's right. We're going to have a massive growth in the fourth quarter. But here's what's going to come at the expense, not because of Trump's policies, because of AI.
Yeah.
The various people that are in this country right now, Alex, that are actually in the technology industry, the coders, are actually writing themselves out of a job.
Yeah. And you know what, the old saying, chance favors the prepared mind. I mean, it's not any failure of Trump's economic policies, but it's just the changing landscape, really technologically a paradigm shift. And there are a lot of people that are, I'm talking young people in college and just now graduating, but they're very unprepared for this.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that and put that topic up for discussion. If I was in college, I would look at one of four or five areas. I would go to trade school, or I would go to an area that has minimal amount of change, a minimum amount of transformation from labor-based human. I call it the human base now. And we talk like we're going to be coming into robots. It's true, though. Robots are going to take over domestic household cleaning, all the various things that we do now in labor. But there are areas in trade, like electricians, plumbers, people that work with their hands can make a great deal of money. But at this point, if you're in the accounting, the law, or the medical fields, or if you're in any financial services, I've got good news and bad news. Those jobs are already being replaced at levels that are about 1/10, even 1/20th of the cost of putting a human being in there. It's so weird to say that. It used to be MBAs were going to get these high paying jobs versus just regular degrees, whether they're associate degrees, bachelor degrees. We used to talk not as like humans, but rather degrees that we achieved in university or college training. Now we're actually saying, oh yeah, robot's going to take over domestic cleaning. I saw a robot recently made in China for about $6,000 or $8,000 when they do the conversion that can vacuum, it can cook, It can do laundry. It can iron. And I go, how much money does a domestic full-time help person help? $30,000-$40,000 a year, probably. Yeah. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. This robot was like $6,000, $7,000, or $8,000. And it did everything. And guess what? It does it 24/7.
Christian, we're going to have to pull away here in a second. You know, U.S. News and World Report every year puts out their annual college issue. And, you know, having spent over 20 years now in Christian higher education, U.S. News and World Report said a couple of years ago, of the 5,500 colleges and grad schools in the next 20 years, more than half will close. They've got tens of millions of dollars of deferred maintenance. I mean, seriously, colleges are burning up their endowments to pay for dormitories that aren't even used anymore, putting roofs on things like that. And so as you or your kids are going to the university, I mean, besides the woke indoctrination that they get at many a secular school, just look, the 4 years and $150,000 of tuition you pay, you might wind up with a degree that's useless in an AI world. Hey, we got to pull away one last time, and we'll get you on again when we can talk longer. Christian, what's the URL for your website, please?
Bravo Mary Charlie, bmcham.com. And on X, it's bmc_ham. Yeah, follow me, call us anytime. We're happy to discuss any of your precious metals needs, or just watch the stuff we post. We have a lot of analytics that we put out every single day and reports that can really help you with a lot of the decisions, certainly in this economy, because I do expect some various volatility in the upcoming months.
Hey, thanks very much. We look forward to when we can talk again. Alex McFarland here, folks, the American Family Radio Network. We're going to segue, and I want you to meet someone just who is a valued colleague, someone for whom I have immeasurable respect, Pastor Lucas Miles. He is the Senior Director of TPUSA Faith, and oh my goodness, he's been on Newsmax, The Blaze, Fox, Washington Times, CBN, all over the place. He's a prolific author, and we can talk about some of his books. But like myself, he was a friend to the late, great Charlie Kirk. And kind of on short notice, he's made time to be with us tonight. And by the way, folks, on September 14, we were going to have the final in our series of Conversations That Matter. And there was going to be Lauren Green of Fox News. And in the, you know, 72 hours after Charlie's shooting, we postponed that event. It's going to be Friday, October 3rd. We're going to have a panel discussion and the event in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater. We had Charlie down here August 21. We're going to talk about the state of the nation, the state of the church, life in a post-Charlie Kirk world, but it's going to be a tribute to the founder and leader of TPUSA as well. We'll tell you more about the October 3rd event. But Lucas Miles, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us tonight. But even more importantly, Lucas, thank you for what you're doing to bring people to Christ in our nation and world.
Alex, I appreciate that. It's always good to be with you and to hear your voice. And you've been a calm, steady, I think, for a lot of people for a long time. And a big fan of yours. I wish it was under different circumstances this week. But thanks for having me on.
Well, and condolences, love, and prayers to you and your family. And I think about Michael McCoy and all of our friends that were part of Charlie's staff. Lot to talk about, but Lucas, where were you? How did you get the news a week ago today? Just please tell us how you processed what the world is still in shock over, the death of Charlie Kirk.
You know, so my wife and I were actually with another one of our leadership couples from our own ministry, and we were on vacation, and we were down actually in the Caribbean. And my assistant, who also works at TPUSA Faith, he said, hey, you need to unplug, you know, put the phone down. I'm only going to bug you if something's really major, and otherwise I'll just shoot you an email or something, but, you know, just enjoy. And sitting by the pool. And, you know, have my phone, you know, just sitting next to me so that we kind of communicate with those around us. And it rings, and it's my assistant. I pick it up, and just my heart sunk. I knew something was wrong. And, you know, he just said, Charlie's been shot. It's serious. It's all we know. Start getting home. And we got the first flight that we could and got home the next day. And it's been kind of a whirlwind ever since then. I'm in Phoenix now with the staff, just trying to, you know, really make sure that we can give Charlie the best send-off that we can this Sunday for the memorial, which I think is going to be a historic day for this nation.
You know, Lucas, last night I watched again the video from when Charlie was with us, and I thank God that we were able to have him August 21. I first got to know him we talked on the phone in 2021, although I had known of him for a number of years, and I spoke for a TPUSA event at East Tennessee State University in Kingsport, Tennessee, and then we would see each other at conferences, and we were at the RNC convention together in Colorado at Karis Bible College. It was my joy, you know, when he spoke at Karis Bible College on October 30th of last year. That's when we really made plans for this summer, and we prayed together backstage. I just cannot overstate the respect that I had for him, because besides being a brilliant political voice and analyst, and I want you to speak to this, Lucas, he was a Jesus man. He was an evangelist at heart. Every place we ever went, he shared the gospel. He called people to salvation. And he was so unique. But the Lord Jesus Christ was number one in the life of Charlie Kirk. Am I right?
That's 100% right. I mean, he could regularly be found reading and studying his Bible. Anytime I was with him, we were talking about Jesus. He was asking questions about theology. He was, you know, working through different ideas and wanting to bounce them off of people. One of the last dinners and meals I had with him, there was about, maybe about eight of us or so that sat around the table. And Charlie, you know, I think in the spirit of Foster Freeze had a rule where if we had a group around the table, he would give time for each person to talk individually rather than having a bunch of side conversations, so you could really focus on each person. And, you know, he just went around asking people to speak on different issues and cultural things that were happening and how do we engage this as Christians. He loved the Lord. He was passionate about the Lord, and he wanted other people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those that may be unaware, tell us about TPUSA Faith, Lucas. The voice you're hearing, folks, is the senior director of Turning Point USA Faith. What all does this part of the organization do?
Yeah, you know, I think there's still, you know, most of the world, especially now, is very familiar with Charlie's on-campus debates, and they're also probably familiar with the work that we do with just chapters across the country. But there's also another division of Turning Point, and that's called TPUSA Faith. That's what I oversee. And our division is really focused on two major initiatives, and that is, first of all, to unite the body of Christ around primary doctrine. Charlie loved the church, period. He, you know, from my vantage point, he loved, a lot of different things about different denominations. He spent time getting to know pastors across a lot of different movements. He would go visit churches. He would spend time with them and preach in them. He didn't really get into the micro of secondary doctrine, but he wanted to.
Hey, hold that thought.
United.
Forgive me, Lucas. We got to pull away for a break. Alex McFarland here, the American Family Radio Network. Our guest, Lucas Miles of TPUSA Faith. We're back in just a moment.
The Ten Commandments aren't arbitrary man-made rules, nor are they merely suggestions. God meant them to be law as he hand-wrote them on the stone tablets that he gave Moses. They're the basis for many of our nation's laws, and you can show your support for them with a Ten Commandments retro t-shirt from the AFA Resource Center. The eye-catching design is one you'll be glad to wear just about anywhere or give as a gift. take a look for yourself today at resources.afa.net.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap Weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Charlie Kirk assassination. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. 31-year-old married father of two, Charlie Kirk, perhaps the most influential conservative leader other than President Trump, was assassinated as he spoke at Utah Valley University. Of course, no one should be killed for their speech, but to the modern left, to disagree with them is to be a danger in need of silencing. Charlie will be remembered for his sharp intellect and persuasive debate style. He will also be known for being a forthright Christian. Pray for God's strength and comfort for Charlie's wife and family. Charlie is surely now saying, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hear our most recent program on Charlie Kirk at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. We're having a conversation with Lucas Miles. He's pastor. He's senior director of Turning Point USA Faith, but he's also a prolific author. And I want to continue and talk about Charlie Kirk and his legacy and the ongoing work of TPUSA. But Lucas, what is your latest book, brother?
Yeah, it's called Pagan Threat, and it's the subtitle is Confronting America's Godless Uprising, and very honored to include a foreword from the late, great Charlie Kirk.
Wow, it's got to be pretty special. You know, I will tell you, in the books the Lord has allowed me to write, some of the people that, you know, heroes of mine like Chuck Colson or Eric Metaxas have written a foreword for me for some of my books, and I know you do cherish that, but wow, that's such an honor that Charlie would write the foreword for you for that book. If you would comment on a book you wrote, one of the first times I heard you speak, I don't know, Lucas, was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. No kidding, no flattery, but you are one of the most impressive communicators that I believe I've ever heard. And I remember you came and gave a talk on Woke Jesus, The False Messiah Destroying Christianity. It's a fantastic book, folks. I urge you to read all of Lucas Miles' work. But tell us a little bit about that book. And are you still touring and promoting that book some?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things on pause right now until we, you know, get recalibrated here in the aftermath of this. But I can tell people for sure that we're not slowing down, we're not stopping. That if anything, we're going to be cranking it up quite a bit. And so, you know, the work that I've been doing really over the last several years, you know, you mentioned Woke Jesus. Before that, I wrote a book called The Christian Left, and now Pagan Threat. All of these have really been focused on dealing with this infiltration of our society and our churches, of progressive thought, of Marxism, of ultimately what has morphed into paganism. Wokeism is a religion, really. It is a religion that is anti-God, anti-faith, anti-family, anti-America, and it is really demonic in nature. And this is what we are seeing that has affected, you know, this next generation so you know, prevalently. And I think that this is something that Charlie understood better than anybody. And ultimately, it is the cancer that you know took his life. And it is so important, I think, as we continue this legacy of his and continue the work. As we got the charge from Erica Kirk the other night, when she did her national broadcast, that we have to really work to make heaven crowded. And to do so, we're going to have to push back these false ideologies.
Indeed. And yes, wokeness absolutely is a religion. And I think we've all had to, those of us that are, you know, we believe the Bible, we believe the tenets of historic Christianity. We've had to, in one way or another, at one time or another, we've had to respond to those that try to make Christianity Marxist or try to declassify what the Bible calls sin. That progressive Christianity is not progressive at all. It's a deviation from Scripture, isn't it?
It's also not Christian at all, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
This is the reality of it. You know, there's so many, and I'm sure you've seen these, Alex, there's a lot of pastors that did not address the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk this last Sunday. And, you know, I saw a couple very well-known, prevalent pastors, you know, really attempting to, you know, make excuses for that of, hey, you know what, I think Charlie would just want me to preach Jesus on Sunday in this sort of language. And I understand and I can appreciate the sentiment, and I never want to force a pastor to say a particular thing. We don't want this to feel like the aftermath of 2020, where if you don't say the phrase Black Lives Matter, then you're canceled or something like that. But what I would say is that the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk was a litmus test in the aftermath of this for whether or not a church is willing to be courageous and bold and to stand strong. And you know, can you tell me that the early church would have not mentioned Stephen after he was stoned to death? Because, we just want to talk about Jesus. We're not going to mention our brother who was just killed before our eyes, or that they wouldn't talk about James after he was beheaded, or that the second century church didn't mention Polycarp after he was burned at the stake and thrust with a spear. It's absolutely ludicrous. And so Charlie Kirk is a martyr. He stood for the faith. And I think that the church has to wake up and people have to wake up and start looking for a church near them that is willing to stand strong. And I encourage them to head over to tpsafaith.com and reach out to us, and we can help them do just that.
And how may people be involved? I was talking to a TPUSA colleague this morning about the thousands and thousands of requests they're getting to start chapters of Turning Point in high schools and universities. But for TPUSA Faith, what can people do to get involved, Lucas?
So first off, you know, you can go to tpsafaith.com. We have a couple different interest forms there you can fill out. You can also follow us on our social media platforms, Instagram, you know, YouTube, et cetera, in order to get more of our content. We put out a lot of resources for churches. So especially pastors out there that are hearing this, or church leaders or elders or something like that. Here's the beautiful thing. Everything that TPUSA Faith does for the church is free of charge. We have courses, we have classes, we have different materials. We'll send speakers to your church to help support them. That was always Charlie's heart and his passion. You know, he came to me and said, hey, how can we get top-level speakers to these churches that, you know, maybe can't always afford them to be able to support, you know, their work that's there? We have a lot of different supports we can do. I've got a staff of about 40 individuals across the country right now. I have a feeling that with this ground surge that we're going to only see the organization grow, you know, and to carry out the work. It's more important than ever, and we have to continue this before it's too late.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Erica Kirk. I believe it was last Friday night. Incredibly moving speech, incredibly courageous speech. But she said, and you know, between wiping tears away, my wife and I were just saying praise God. But she said that an incredible movement has been unleashed, and it will only grow. Now, I pray that is so. Lucas, tell us about what you think God is going to do with this otherwise tragic situation.
You know, obviously, any of us that knew Charlie would gladly turn back the clock to have him back. But as one of his dear friends and co-laborers said the other night at this vigil, Charlie wouldn't do that. The movement that has happened over the last few days is everything that Charlie was working towards. He gave not only his days on this earth to see that happen, but he also gave his last breath to see that happen. Charlie Kirk was a man devoted to the mission and the purpose and the agenda that God had laid on his heart, and we are seeing that fulfilled more than ever before over the last few days of revival. Church attendance across the nation has exploded. My own church doubled in attendance this past Sunday just outside of South Bend, Indiana. I'm hearing reports like that from pastors all across the country, you know, as people are showing up. I just before coming on the show, I just got a message from an individual, an email from an individual that has been working in basically, you know, online, you know, sex trade, adult entertainment type of realms. And she wrote me and she said, I'm conservative. I've been doing this to pay my bills. After the events, I want out. I want to give my life to Jesus. And can you help me get started? I think that people are going through a major, at the risk of sounding cliche here, a turning point in their life. I had a college friend that reached out to me here recently and said, I've judged you for the last few years. As I've seen the work that you're doing, I didn't understand it. I didn't think it was that important. I repent. What you are doing is more important than ever. How can I get involved? How can I help? Now they're trying to fly out to Charlie's Memorial on Sunday to support, you know, everything that's happening here. The world changed last Wednesday in a moment, and it's never going to be the same on our watch.
Lucas, you're going to appreciate this. Last night, I had the privilege of speaking at a memorial service in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the Turning Point USA chapter down here. It was fantastic. It was a great church. I was asked to speak. Well, because you know, it was a fairly high-profile event, I was assigned a security person who was with me last night, actually a couple. And this gentleman texted me. He's a former New Jersey law enforcement a guy. I'm going to guess he's in his late 50s, early 60s. And he texted me an hour ago. He said, Mr. McFarland, I listened to your remarks last night. I watched all the videos of Charlie Kirk they played at the event. It was one of the most moving things. I want you to know, since last night, I was your security detail. I've committed my life to Christ. I have not been in church in years, but I'm coming to church. But he said, I've put my faith in Jesus as a result of last night. And you know, glory to God. Glory to God. This, and you know, folks, let me just say this. Charlie Kirk had his path, his assignment from Jesus. He lived it out to the fullest degree. Lucas Miles is serving Jesus. But what about you, my friend? If you've never been saved, the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you. He rose from the dead. You can call out to Christ right now. He is as close by as a prayer. And whatever you've done, He'll forgive if you ask Him and you trust Him. Whatever's been done to you, He can heal. And today, let's all commit for the glory of God, in honor and in the light of the example of Charlie Kirk. Let's do this thing. What else is there to live for but for the risen Savior, King Jesus? God is on the move, isn't He, Lucas?
100%. I'm honored just to play a small part in what's happening right now across this nation. So blessed to be working with everyone here at Turning Point and TPUSA Faith. And I would just encourage your audience, you know, I have people that have been, I mean, text messages and calls and emails just pouring in. And what I, you know, just saying, how can I help? And what I would say is head over to TPUSAFaith.com, head over to TPUSA.com. And, you know, if you want to make a donation, if you want to send a letter of encouragement, if you want to, you know, offer prayer, if you're, you know, in the area and you want to come out and support the memorial and sign up for that, you can find out more at fightforcharlie.com. This is a historic moment, not only for this nation, not only for the world, but for the kingdom of God. And we, you know, Charlie would want us to take advantage of every single opportunity. He'd want us to not stop. He never had an idle moment. He didn't, you know, everything he did was so intentional. Even though he was 15 years younger than me, I learned so much from him, watching him, knowing him, and I will treasure that all the days of my life. Until then, we've got a lot of work to do.
Indeed. You know, I got to say this, and we're almost out of time, folks. We're talking with Lucas Miles, author, pastor, senior director of TPUSA Faith. But Mark, I believe it's Mark 9:26, says some things are only achieved through prayer and fasting. And I think that, frankly, I think that transgenderism is demonic because it's the ultimate form of moral relativism. It's like saying, you know, God, not only you can't tell me how to behave, God, you can't even define what I am. So, Lucas, in the spirit of Great Awakening and revival in America, would it be appropriate if you feel led, folks, and if your doctor says your health is okay, but not only to pray for an awakening, but to fast and pray for the strongholds of Satan to be broken and our nation set free from the wokeness, the darkness, the delusion? What is your word, Lucas, about fasting and praying for spiritual awakening?
Yeah, I think that, you know, fasting plays a role. And what I always say, it's not that it moves God, but it gets us in a position to be able to hear from God, to receive the things that he has for us. You know, one of the things that Charlie was so passionate about, and he actually has a new book himself that is number one right now in the country, and it's called Stop in the Name of God. And it was this idea of Sabbath, taking time to rest. And during that rest, you know, a lot of times for him, it was a fast. It was spending time to pray, going for that walk with the Lord, hearing from heaven. And I think that this is something that we have to do across the country, is we have to hear from the Lord. We have to take time. And, you know, when it says that, you know, some only go out by prayer and fasting, it's not just talking about, you know, that the demons care what you eat on a given day, but doubt and unbelief leaves. It puts us in a position where we can really hear and receive from the Lord and get ready for what he has for us. America needs that kind of mindset right now.
Absolutely. Well, brother, again, websites where people can find not only TPUSA, but your own personal website as well, Lucas.
Yeah, so you can go to tpusafaith.com to find out all that we're doing at TPUSA Faith. Also, I encourage you to go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, pick up a copy of my new book, Pagan Threat, with a foreword from Charlie Kirk. I will let you know there's a fraudulent copy of the book masquerading as mine right now on Amazon. So make sure you're getting the official copy and not the AI version that's trying to scam people. But I appreciate you having me on the show so much, Alex, and thanks for the work you're doing.
Well, please convey our love, our regards, our condolences to Erica, the TPUSA staff, and we look forward to when you and I can visit again on air. Folks, this has been Alex McFarland, the American Family Radio Network. And you know what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your stand for Christ, your voice, your witness, your boldness, it will bear fruit. It does matter. So stand strong and tell somebody about Jesus. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.